This is Talk Star Wars,
the official podcast at talkstarwars.co.uk.
Welcome back to Talk Star Wars, the official podcast of talkstarwars.co.uk. I'm Mark.
I'm Stephen. Welcome to the Yawncast.
And I'm Rob, the energy.
Yes.
We are all very, very tired.
I provide the balance of the force. That's going to be my new thing.
Mark and I are over 600 years old, therefore we get tired. Easy.
So low energy tonight. And I'm gutted as well, because we're going to focus on Rogue One for the most part. And Rogue One is something that I'm deeply passionate about, although I'm going to struggle to communicate that in any way, shape or form this evening. Trust me, I do.
Yes, brilliant. I'm so excited. Yeah, so great.
Have a gun if you want.
Right, how are we doing, chaps? How have our weeks been? I know mine's been tiring. How's yours?
Mine's been a week of back-breaking.
You've already had a bad back, so this is probably hasn't helped.
No, he's been out breaking people's backs. That's what I took from that.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like penance.
Curiously structured sentence.
I'm living in the world of sciatica, and it's a beautiful world.
Oh, that's rough. My sympathies, like, friend.
It feels like Chewie's been squeezing my thigh all week. I've got to try and work on this. Everything's got to be Star Wars, isn't it? It's got to relate to Star Wars. But no one's got a bad back in Star Wars. Even though they fall down that stupid hole in the Millennium Falcon all the time, they don't get a bad back.
Yoda's got a questionable back.
That's true, actually.
That's how I'm moving around.
When you piss him off, he drops his shit and just goes for it.
Sweary.
Oh, sorry. Are we on the... Oh, no. That's your fault, because we were doing that extra
card. This is the light side.
Yeah, this is the light side. That's right.
You were the chosen one.
I'll slip some beats in there. It'll be fine.
Can you put a back-breaking noise in there?
I don't have endless soundboard, Steve.
And don't get me started on the handrails. How can no one's walking around? There's no wheelchairs in Star Wars, but there's no handrails anywhere.
We may see one in Episode 8. If Finn's, recovering from his quite serious injury, they might introduce something of a similar, similar note.
Maybe laugh on Episode 7, because when the bit where the thing happened that we don't talk about, the handrail was there, and I thought, bloody hell, they'd remember the handrail. And then as the abyss opens up, the handrail tapers off into the ground.
Then it doesn't make a difference,
So you put a handrail, but you don't need...
Here's a question that's always bugged me about Episode 7 since I saw it. Where was Kylo Ren going?
That's a good point.
It bugged me. I didn't notice it the first one or two times I saw it. And then the third time I saw it, I started going, hang on a minute. He's just walking out into a big open space, and there's an abyss below him, abyss above him. And then what's ahead? Like, is it like lunchtime? Is that it?
The walkway goes right the way across, but you'd choose the safe option and walk round, wouldn't you?
Yeah,
but let's walk across the rickety bridge with no handrail, or walk around the edge.
Right, I've got some insider knowledge on this, so I'll give you the exact. Rob, you get so excited and you haven't realised.
But this sounds
I'm just
pretty
full of crap.
These are always fun though.
If it is lunchtime, everyone's going around because obviously they don't want to fall to their death.
Of course.
So Kylo takes the little bridge and he jumps the queue. What's on the middle there is a little coffee shop called Jarva the Hutt. So he just pops over there, he gets his dark side latte. Everyone else wanders around, and by the time they get there, they've got the ump, because Kylo's at the front of the queue, and he's ordering all the pastries and everything. What are you going to do?
But at the same time, exactly. What are you going to do anyway? Because he just turned around and choked the life out of you.
Yeah, exactly.
I was here first.
Cappuccino.
Serious answer. I don't think he was going anywhere. I think it was just he was baiting
a ruse, yeah. Oh, that sneaky little sod.
But it was tricky. I mean, it's a bit like, maybe there are a few problems. JJ's admitted that he messed up. We spoke about it last week, didn't we, with the Leia hug thing.
If I see an article come out from JJ saying, all right, fine, you got me, while I'm on the subject of things I messed up, he was going to lunch, okay, then I will just, I'll be so happy.
He was jumping in the edge of the hut.
If JJ listens to this podcast, please don't.
Please don't listen to the podcast.
Don't just listen to one podcast. Check out our After Dark Side podcast, where we let loose.
Where we use phrases like course. I'm going to have to beep that as well. I'm going to get my beep.
Mark, back. You're doing it now. When we're tired, we get scary.
Whilst we're still on the slight tangent of Han Solo, even though we're not really, but
We were. He was in that scene.
He was in that scene indeed for a briefest moment.
He was rather
the Han Solo hopefuls list has been narrowed down to reportedly three. Although Steve, you and I were talking off air about how that's probably not quite accurate.
That's one of those things that could be, you know,
a misnomer.
It's hearsay, isn't it? Ultimately,
we thought it was conspicuous by his absence. The old Anthony Ingruber.
Yeah, and I still think that he might be in with a shout there. Personally.
He's got to be. He's everyone's first choice. So they're probably thinking, well, we don't want to just succumb and make it look like we've given people what they want. So we'll hide him away and then flip him in at the end. But
give in to your casting choices.
Yep. Exactly.
Well, the three names to watch seem to be Alden. God, how do you pronounce this?
Alden.
Alden Snow. What? Alden from Ehrenreich. Greek. Oh, no. Alden Snow.
No, not Alden.
Not that one, no. Anybody, right, I'm going to go on record here. Anybody but Russell Brand. Anybody in the world. I will take Dame Judi Dench over Russell Brand for Han Solo.
That's some imaginative casting.
You never know. Yeah.
She'd do all right.
Dame Maggie Smith. Dame.
I'm going to have a serious crack at this chap's name now to give him the respect that he deserves. Alden Ehrenreich, I believe, is his name.
I think you're pretty much on the I think you're on the money there.
He is my new favourite choice. If I can't have Anthony Ingruber, he'd be the one. I stumbled across a photograph last week. I don't have it to hand, unfortunately, or I'd post it into the chat. But I've come across a photograph of him from Hail Caesar in a white cowboy hat.
You shared it on Talk Star Wars, as I recall.
Yeah, I did. It went out on an article this week. That is a young Harrison Ford to me. Because the from American Graffiti.
I don't know. I'm looking at him now. He hasn't got the scar on his chin. I think they all should. Part of the cast.
Hang on.
Hit him with a hammer.
Maybe.
Did he fall into the kitchen?
Hasn't got it yet.
How did he do it? He fell off the sink, didn't he? Into the sink.
No, what actually happened was when Harrison Ford was with the Phoenix, he was n***ing about with a bullwhip, and that's what happened. I've seen it. It's on film, so it must be true.
Okay.
Crikey, really?
I'm looking at the two photos side by side. So I'm on talkstarwars.co.uk, which you should all be.
Yeah, Steve, and, if you head over there, you'll see it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And everybody should be on this website. Because it's wonderful. And there's a side-by-side of American Graffiti and Hail Caesar. And I can see what you mean, Mark, actually. I think he probably does. He does fit the part quite well. Now, having said that, I will qualify this by saying I haven't seen pictures of the other guys. So I'm going to look at the other choices now and see if my mind changes.
Yeah, well, personally, I think the second option, Jack Rayner, to me seems a little too old to slot into the timeline.
Now, having said that, I will counter that by saying that he looks like Chris Pratt. Now, Chris Pratt is the guy who is currently doing the rebooted Indiana Jones, right?
Don't know. Is that?
He's supposed to be, isn't he? But he was my choice.
We theorised about it, didn't we? He would be my choice as well if they were going to do
without Ingrid.
Yeah, and I wonder if they're going to try and go for people who look kind of a bit more like each other rather than going for the Harrison Ford look. They're going to kind of try and get the Harrison Ford's mannerisms down instead.
Yeah.
In which case, they just want people who look kind of similar enough that it won't put off audiences when it comes to actually casting the films. And they go, oh, well, he looks nothing like... Well, actually, he looks like bloke who's playing Indiana Jones, so that works.
Well, that's why Ingruber was perfect, because he's got the voice, the mannerisms, and the look.
He's totally... I agree. I think he would be my pick too, because he is absolutely spot on for the role. But if we're not going to get him, actually, I'm thinking one of the first two out of the three, not to take anything away from the third guy, because I'm sure he's very good as well, but one of the first two on our list would be my choice.
Yeah.
So where is this... I'm on the website. Whereabouts is this exactly?
It's called Han Solo Shorts Getting Shorter. It's a picture of Harrison Ford holding the blaster to his own head. Don't do it.
Okay, yeah, I see it. Oh, yes. Yeah, I see. Oh, right. Okay. It doesn't know. See, I don't get that resemblance.
Don't feel that one, though.
No. He's just got a hat on. My yeah, cat. Is that not, I'm going to put a cat on my...
It's a start.
As long as it doesn't get a cowboy hat on Star Wars.
They can fix the rest in CG.
Yeah.
The hat is what you care about. It has to be authentic.
I'm just putting a 10-gallon hat on my dog. It is uncanny.
Well, the third option for the Han Solo spin-off movie is Taron Egerton from Kingsman. And I believe this week's release, Eddie the Eagle.
Oh, yeah.
He's very young.
Yes.
And as much as I like Kingsman, and I thought Taron Egerton did a good job in Kingsman, there's something about him that I found off-putting. But then I felt the same about John Boyega in Attack the Block. I think it's just because they're that...
East End white boy.
Yeah, I don't like that. And I know the American audiences won't get the association that we would have with that type of person. Do you see what I mean? Well, yeah. I don't want to get too specific, but...
So to give you the most recent update on Taron Egerton, so he's actually been asked about this question in an interview in the premiere of Eddie the Eagle. He actually got asked about the Harrison Ford, the Han Solo casting rumours, and he said, it's something I'm aware of. It's been on the internet. It's very flattering. I'd like to as much as anyone else. It's Han Solo, and that's as far as he goes. He won't talk about it any further. So he's basically just said, I'd really love to do it if I could. Yeah. But beyond that, we don't know.
There's a lot of NDAs as well.
Oh, sure, yeah.
They can't talk about anything.
No.
Well, from talking to...
He looks just like the other bloke, the first bloke.
Okay.
He looks just like old Ehrenreich, is it?
Yeah.
It was Jack Rayner, then. He's not very... I can't even find him on the website, but he's not. He doesn't look very good, does he?
I think he looks all right.
He looks like...
He looks a bit like Chris Pratt.
Yeah, he's one of these actors that are being...
Oh, no, he looks S1 out of 3. Yeah, he to me is probably more reminiscent visually.
I think he's too old, Steve. I don't know how old he is. Should...
What are they pausing it at? What age?
Some of the stuff, well, they haven't been specific about it, but Han was supposed to be 28 in A New Hope.
Okay.
Actually, Harrison Ford was more like 35.
35.
Mm.
But the character's supposed to be, I think, 28. But they're going to show you Han and Chewie meeting in this new film. So we should get the origin of their friendship, which suggests that they're going to go a little bit younger than we may have initially thought, which would put Taron Egerton, I think, in a perfect frame. Mind you, I'm looking at him on IMDb now. Excuse me. Jack Rayner is only 24.
He could... Do you know, I've seen... Here's a photo. I'm going to send you guys in the chat. There's a photo on the RTE website. It's an Irish Entertainment Network website.
Yeah, I'm looking at it, yeah.
And you see a side-by-side. And actually, I could believe it.
Yeah.
I could go with that.
That's your Jack Rayner.
Yes, yeah, Jack Rayner. Yeah, that's the guy. Of the list of ours, that's the second guy. So...
The other
I could see that.
Is that he was in...
they need to break his nose hard.
Yeah. Transformers.
Taron Egerton is 2 years older than Jack Rayner.
Okay.
No, I would not have said that.
See, I would have said, we spoke about this about 19 podcasts ago, that why not now? We're in 2016. Get any actor. Get Harrison Ford to chuck him down a load of lines, a load of voice that a computer can play with, scan him to hell, and then make out young Han Solo in a computer and make it look awesome. Why not?
Yeah.
This is 2016, for God's sake. Let's do it.
I think we're still a way away from that at the moment.
Yeah, I think so. Unfortunately, I think
Well, not after seeing Ant-Man. Honestly, that was the most believable rendition of an older actor I've ever seen.
You're talking about what Michael Douglas was on screen in that scene for at the utmost 2 minutes.
Yeah,
you're talking about a 2-hour and 15-minute feature where the lead character would have to be CG'd in every single shot.
Yeah, but think how much they'd save. They'd only have to pay Harrison Ford $2 million to use his face, and then they could spend the other $18 million on the CG.
Do you know what? I'm going to say here that looking at, actually, looking at the Talk Star Wars header image for this story with Harrison Ford holding the DL-44 at his own head,
yeah,
compared to the Jack Rayner shot that I just sent you, he's my pick.
Yeah, so who are we going for now then?
I'm going for Jack Rayner. I'm going to say Jack Rayner. Yeah,
that's what I thought when I saw it. I thought that was
fair enough.
I think you might have sold me.
He's very Chris Prattish, isn't he?
I will say I won't be unhappy with any of those three.
I will. I want Anthony and Gruber.
How would you guys feel? How would you guys feel about him being cast as Indy at the same time?
I don't think necessary, but again, I'd be fine with it.
They should post boot Indy and make it like his son, but not that annoying guy.
They teased that in the fourth one, didn't they? They kind of, you know, yeah, there was a bit where Shia LaBeouf hat rolled over to him and he almost picked it up and put it on his head and Harrison Ford just grabbed it off him at the last minute as if to say, not quite, you know.
Unfortunately,
so there was, they teased
Shia
it.
Killed his career by having meltdowns, didn't he? So that
didn't help himself.
No.
Although I do think there was a point at which he started to be in on the joke and just have fun with it.
Yeah, but
because there are some fantastic
Nymphomania as well, Shia LaBeouf.
He was, yeah.
And that was a very strange film.
I didn't watch
it. Yeah, I gathered I saw the trailer. That was enough to tell me it was going to be strange.
Yeah. I would advise a family audience not to check out that trailer.
Absolutely not.
Although the trailer is far worse than the film.
Oh, is it really? Okay.
Yeah, I don't. The film was well made and very arty and not like cheap and not obviously a porn film. In fact, I didn't get the vibe I got from the trailer watching the film at all. But I obviously didn't watch the whole film. I skipped it looking for porn.
Should we get this back to Star Wars before we get into...
I think that's a good idea. I do like that Steve's energy returns to him when he mentions porn.
When we get out of this podcast, let's bring that up again before we record. We'll
Do you know, I've got a perfect segue. Let's do it.
Okay,
porncast.
One more piece of Han Solo talk and then we can get on to we've got a listener question and then we've got some meaty Rogue One things to talk about.
Hang on a minute. Let me have a listener question. Our listener's in here with us.
Yeah.
What?
We have one, and it's actually pretty damn interesting as well. Right. This does set us up for our Rogue One talk. This is about the possibility of Han Solo having a cameo in Rogue One, which someone started talking about a while ago, and it seems to have stuck, and everyone thinks that we're just waiting for the casting to be announced, and then they'll shoot this little drop in for Rogue One, which I think is absolute nonsense. At the moment, the rumour is that he will play a Boshek-style role.
Help me out, sorry, what does that mean?
Right, okay, I thought I was going to explain it to Steve, yeah. Boshek is, think about the cantina in episode 4, right?
Okay, is that a character in...
Boshek is the character dressed in like a spaceman suit that Alec Guinness first talks to, and it's as though Alec Guinness is offering him the job. And he sort of says no. It's all done dialogue free, and then he introduces him to Chewie. That character is... His name is Boshek.
Right.
There seems to be some sort of belief that Han Solo will fulfill a similar role in Rogue One, that perhaps Felicity Jones' character or somebody will approach them to hire the freighter and he will palm them off on somebody else.
What, in the past?
Yeah, but it doesn't
work. I'm not seeing it.
It doesn't work because...
No.
It would have to be Han... It would have to be Harrison Ford.
Yeah. Because it wouldn't work.
So we're talking about... we're talking about looking back years before, right?
Not years. This film is set just before episode 4.
Oh, yes. Sorry, I'm on board now. Yeah. So I see.
Any appearance by Han Solo in that film would be very close to the way he looks and acts in episode 4.
No, see, there's one big obstacle in that one for me mentally, and the obstacle is that when you get into episode 4 and you're introduced to Han Solo, I get the feeling he's just had his run-in with the Imperials that's dropped his cargo.
Yeah.
because, and it, you know, because obviously suddenly Jabba's after him, Greedo's after him, Boba Fett's with Jabba. Though that seems to me to be too close to episode four,
and also
for him to take the job and to have the option of taking the job.
He doesn't know anything about the Death Star.
No.
So, I don't. None of it adds up to me.
It seems like wishful thinking to me.
Yeah, and I think it's probably a rumor that hasn't been squashed because it serves a lot of. It runs a lot of interference for the producers, doesn't it? Like, let people think that this is where we're going with it, and we'll do something completely different. So I do think that's why in the show notes it says silly Han Solo cameo rumors, because I don't think there's anything to it at all.
I think that's wishful thinking.
Yeah, you can't do it. Not if you're taking Han right back to his youth, so that we get enough space in time to do at least a trilogy of Han Solo Star Wars stories.
You get the impression they've been, him and Chewie have been sort of riding around together for quite a while at the point where episode four kicks in. So I think they're going to need to establish, if that's the story they're going to run with for the original Han Solo movie, then I think that's going to have to be a bit further back in time than episode four.
I wonder how much of the original Han Solo backstory will creep into this.
I'd be interested to see that.
It was supposed to be on Kashyyyk in episode three, wasn't he, as a little boy? Which would
supposedly, but then
the Wookiees from a very early age.
But then that would have also raised, at the time, the only canon we had was the Legends canon, and the Legends canon was that he was an Imperial officer who'd freed Chewie from the, I think it was from Kessel.
Yeah.
And that was when he made, I think that was supposedly when he made the Kessel run in fewer than 12 parsecs.
Right.
So I don't know if they're going to follow that. Are they going to have it as a thing of, you know, he's a kind of a bad guy turned good, like Lando, where he sort of starts off a bit shifty and duplicitous and then has a change of heart. And then, you know, his Chewbacca is his rescue and his redemption and stuff. I mean, I think that'd be quite entertaining as a film.
Yeah, I like the sound of that. I think it'd be really good if we meet him and he's a part of Jabba's sort of entourage. And then whatever it is that motivates him to drop that cargo, we'll put him on the other side and put that price on his head. So that would be very interesting.
Yeah, that's
whatever they do with it, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, it's something to do with the running with the Imperials, as I recall.
Yeah.
Well, I was just reading that link you sent, Rob.
Yes.
About what Jack Rayner said about Harrison Ford. And he said, they're not expecting an imitation or an emulation. This is after he's had the interview, I imagine.
Yeah.
It's got to be something new, which makes me think they're not going to try and make him feel like Harrison Ford's had.
No.
Well, that could be a mistake, couldn't it?
It could, but it could also be the opposite. Yeah.
I think they should, and they should get Anthony Ingraver. Boom, done, said it again.
I think they should give the opportunity to put their own spin on it slightly, because these, you know, personality traits that they exhibit in the origin film could be things that he's lost by the time episode four starts.
Absolutely.
And maybe he's become a bit more of a cynic and a bit more of a jaded guy, you know, from his experience.
The only responsibility they've got really is to the final film they make of Han Solo's, whatever Han Solo's pre-story is going
to
be. The
has
final
to tie
entry
in.
has to dovetail into that character that we meet in the canteen.
Yeah.
And exactly. Also, he hasn't changed it between episode six and seven in 30 years. So why would he change before he reaches 28? He would be essentially the same person, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Well, maybe.
But then
depends on where we're
very similar.
He will be just being formed by the life that he's leading, won't he? So if he's, you know, he might still be cocky and boastful.
Cocky is that is the character, isn't it? Cocky's the key word here.
But it could be slightly more of a grey.
He needs to be
penisy. Penisy.
He needs to be penisy. Yeah.
Right, let's jump on to our quick listener penis question, and then we can get into Rogue One talk. We had a tweet from Michael Roberts. Michael is the chap that was giving us all the information about the Blu-ray.
Oh, nice. Okay. Hi, Michael.
Hello, Michael. I put a call out earlier on to ask people to send in questions and comments.
Mm-hmm.
And this is Michael's question on Twitter. Will be BB-8's journey in episode 8? Will it be with Poe, Rey, or none of the above? So, obviously, Episode 7, BB-8 was a major feature, and he was pretty much driving the plot along with his having that map to Luke. Will he take a back seat, do you think, in, you know, figuratively and literally in Episode 8? Is he going to be demoted to Poe's droid and his X-Wing? What do you reckon?
I think, see, R2's going to get really sort of droid envy, isn't he, if he takes too much screen time?
And no, R2 was also...
R2 wasn't in the first one enough, that's all I was going to say.
You're right.
There with his, on recharge, whatever he was doing.
Yeah. My thing about it is, I don't know, obviously we don't know the story yet and how it's going to play out, but obviously, has BB-8 gone with Rey?
No.
R2 went with Rey?
Yes.
So in which case, I think it's going to stay as is then. I think BB-8's going to stay with Poe, wherever Poe may go.
Yeah.
Whether that be X-Wing, Corellia, if we're saying Corellia held, you know, still holds water. Well, I mean, there's a boat scene. We've seen that, so there's definitely water involved. So I think realistically, it's going to be likely that they're going to stay where they are in terms of where they went in Episode 7. So R2 will stay with Rey and reunite with Luke, and BB-8 will stick with Poe. And actually, if you think about it, if the kind of rumors are true that Poe and Finn are going to kind of hang around more in, you know, wherever they're going to end up, which, like I say, could be Corellia. At the very least, it's an important scene because there's a big high-speed action chase and stuff from what we're seeing. Then I think there's going to be an opportunity once again for BB-8 and Finn and Poe to have some comic relief opportunities, potentially.
And more 3PO this one. We need 3PO back. I mean,
That'd be good.
I mean, you've got so many characters now that no one really gets a lot of screen time except for your leads.
Yeah.
But 3PO is a lead. That was my argument the whole way through. All the leads have died.
I'm glad you brought up 3PO, Steve, because I suspect what we're going to see is the screen time split up three ways in this new movie, and each third will get a droid. So if you've got Luke and Rey and whatever they're doing, if they're going to stay on Ahch-To and she's going to be training with Luke, then I suspect R2 will stay with them the same way he did when they were on Dagobah or whatever else they might do. You remember my theory about them potentially going to Endor? He'll go with them on the Falcon.
Mm-hmm.
I think Poe and BB-8 will be joined at the hip. So wherever he goes, BB-8 will be there. And clearly we're going to have some big... starship battles, because it's Star Wars at the end of the day, and there's going to be some First Order stuff. So I think BB-8 and Poe will be together the way Luke and R2 were in the original movies.
Yep.
And then I think you'll have 3PO and Leia and wherever they are, and potentially that could be what we've seen this week from the Dubrovnik set photographs of we saw Finn on that giant space horse thing.
Yes.
I suspect that he will be General Leia's escort.
Yes. So I think you might be right there.
I think we'll have 3PO with Leia, R2 with Luke, and Poe will get BB-8 for all the space stuff and that. So in answer to Michael's question, that's why I suspect. I think we'll all agree he's probably going to be with Poe, right?
I think so. Yeah. Wherever Poe ends up, that's going to be where BB-8 will be, I think.
I think you've hit the nail on the head there, Mark. But But I think that sounds very feasible, and that way you do split them up fairly, because everyone loves the droids, don't they? Wasn't it based on, or do androids dream of electric sheep, the original?
No, it was Silent Running. Utility droids. Huey, Louie, and Dewey.
Yeah, but that way he got there. But isn't Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep got some sort of link to Star Wars?
But there's themes of, you know, robotics and humanoid forms and stuff. I mean, Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep obviously is more in touch with Blade Runner, because obviously it's sort of
What I'm thinking of. Yeah,
Blade Runner had the Falcon on top of a building, didn't it? The Millennium Falcon is in Blade Runner.
Yeah.
Along with Harrison, obviously.
Of course, yeah.
But But yeah, so hopefully, Michael, hopefully that's answered that question for you. We'd love to hear what you've got to say about it, but we all seem to think that Poe will get BB-8. And if you think about it, really, look at the chemistry. Yes. Luke and Arta have wonderful chemistry. Leia seems to have good chemistry with 3PO. And Poe's relationship with BB-8 in Force Awakens reminded me of my relationship with my dog, Poppy. how pleased BB-8 was to see Poe and sort of rocketing off to him. I just think that's sort of stuff you can't waste that. There's real chemistry there between those characters on screen, so that's fantastic.
Yeah. And fun fact, Mark's dog once took a map halfway across the galaxy to find The Last Jedi.
She did, and then she pooped on it, because that is what she wanted to do.
Which is why they took so long to find the last bit of the map.
Right, should we talk about
Rogue One?
Yeah, it's all true. It's all true, Steve.
It's all true.
Let's talk about Rogue One.
All of it.
We're going to kick off with a bit of a legacy question, because this has made it through a couple of sets of show notes now, but I wanted to talk about it because an outlet ran with this story about Rooney Mara, and I forget who they are, which is probably good, because I shouldn't be naming and shaming, but I think they got their story completely wrong. They pretty much suggested that Rooney Mara was the production's first choice for the lead character in Rogue One.
Okay.
And that implies that Felicity Jones was
not their first choice.
And what they settled for.
Yeah.
But that's not actually true, because even if you read their piece themselves, the piece they wrote themselves, you can see straight away what Rooney Mara has said in her comments, which was that she never even actually read for the role, but she was invited to take part in the audition process and turn it down. So I suppose my reasons for bringing this up are really just to say that even though Rooney Mara is a spectacular Oscar, I think she's Oscar nominated actress, isn't she?
She is, yeah. She's been nominated for two.
Yeah, and I don't think it's very fair to sort of frame her potential involvement or interest in Star Wars in a way that diminishes the other Oscar-nominated actress, Felicity Jones, because it just doesn't do anybody any favours. Rooney Mara didn't think that Star Wars would fit into her career right now. She was very respectful of the franchise and very, very positive about Gareth Edwards, but she just didn't want to be a part of it at this stage in her career. So I just wanted to address that, and it's been bugging me for a little while. But I also wanted to ask both of you guys what your thoughts are of Rooney Mara and potentially her involvement later on. Bear in mind, she has not been negative about Star Wars in any way. How would you feel about her being in a future Star Wars movie?
It'd be fine by me. I mean, I'm looking at her kind of filmography as we're talking now, and the films I've seen with her in, with the exception of Nightmare on Elm Street, which is not her fault, are pretty good, pretty good roles, and she's done them pretty well. So
I suppose she'd have a gritty character, because she's a very gritty actress. You can't say actress anymore, can you? Actor.
Yeah, you can. Of course you can.
She's a gritty lady actor.
Yes.
If IMDb can say it, you can say it.
Yeah, so I like actress and actor. It's like saying
it's fine.
You can't say woman anymore, you have to say man. It's like, no, you can't.
Lady man.
She's a woman.
Yeah, like I say, if IMDb can say it, then you can say it. And if people think that IMDb shouldn't be allowed to say it, that's not our problem.
Yeah, we don't make the rules, we just follow them.
Exactly, we're just...
It's true,
all of it. An unexpected little tangent into sexual equality I wasn't expecting. So you'd be on board for getting involved with Star Wars, Rob?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, I see no reason why not. I'd be interested to know where she'd fit in terms of what role she could play, but I don't see why... Then there's no reason why she couldn't do it, by any means.
I would be happy with anyone getting involved with Star Wars if they make a decent film that they don't kill Han in.
And don't phone it in. Well, that's the main thing as well. We want actors and actresses who are going to get as excited about Star Wars as their fans. I mean, one of the wonderful things about this show is we've talked to two actresses who were really excited about the universe. and the Star Wars story. So
we just see,
you know,
extended
if you can
this weekend, didn't we, at a convention, how enthusiastic absolutely. They were about everything they were doing there.
Absolutely. They took really cool photos together. They had a panel about Force Awakens, and, you know, they obviously had a lot of fun interacting with the community. So it's wonderful to see that. And so that's all we ask from our stars for Star Wars, is that they take it, you know, not as with the proviso that it's all a film and it's all fun. Take the be as excited about Star Wars as the fans are. Don't, you know, and don't kind of phone in a performance where it's just there to collect a paycheck. I'm not suggesting that anybody ever has. I'm just, you know, I just wouldn't want to see that in a film where I thought, well, they don't want to be there. Come on, that's not fair.
And the other thing is, like, give us a chance to breathe. Everyone wants to get on this show one at a time, please.
I know, right? Oh, seriously. Calm down, guys.
Yes.
Really.
There's only so much of Talk Star Wars to go around.
Exactly.
Can we get Peter Cushing on the show?
That would be lovely, but it'd be with some difficulty.
Well, no, we could get the CG Peter Cushing.
Nothing is impossible.
Oh, well, why not?
Don't blow the show notes. Don't blow the show notes.
Oh, that's later, isn't it?
Yes,
sorry.
It is. One
since
thing.
Since when we followed show notes, Mark, since I've joined, really.
You want to say that again?
Since I've joined the show, the show notes have become more and more. I've been deviating further and further. I do apologise for bringing a dose of craziness into it.
No, that's good.
You're a deviant.
Play a little jazz.
I know. Show notes, mate, you don't even know.
I'm not sure for once in hell.
And we move on. But I just wanted to sort of say, I would love, after seeing her in Girl with a Dragon Tattoo, I would love to see a Rooney Mara Asajj Ventress.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
I would watch the hell out of that.
Asajj Ventress, Steve. She's a character from
Clone Wars.
And she was Count Dooku's almost like Sith apprentice. She had dual lightsabers. A staggering character, really breathtaking.
Yes.
Oh, imagine really having her as your sort of Padawan and then not having any hands. What a crime.
Yeah. I can see where you're going, you deviant. Anyway, if you like the idea of Rooney Mara Asajj Ventress, then drop us a line, because I'd like to see that gain some
steam. That'd be awesome.
There's plenty of room to do it in a Star Wars spin-off.
Totally. I mean, we are in a world where anything is possible suddenly in the Star Wars movie making universe.
Yeah.
You're giving your age away, Mark, by saying drop us a line. It's not like we've got an analog phone.
I would like you to put your comments on the back of a sealed self-addressed envelope and send it to us at PO Box 1138. let's see how that pans out for you. All right, let's talk about security on mobile phones.
Security is not a dirty word, Mark. Crevice security. Is a dirty word. But security isn't. You've got to be a Blackadder watcher to get that.
Yes.
Mm.
I was going to launch into it. This would devolve into just a quote fest, so let's not do that. MakingStarWars.net had a story about the on-set security for Rogue One, A Star Wars Story.
I'm just reading it now. Blimey.
I want to know how on earth these photographs get out if people are subjected to these levels of security. Basically, in a nutshell, they were sticking little paper dots over the cameras on people's phones. Dots that if you peel them back to expose the lens of your camera, they change colour so people will know and they'd have their phone confiscated.
That's quite incredible. Really,
why let them take the phones in the first place? Just take their phone.
Yeah, there is that.
I mean, if they want to go on the set, they'll give their phone. If they don't, then pee off.
Well, they did that, didn't they? When we spoke to Anna Maria, didn't she say that they
had I seem to recall that.
I mean, could they not have two phones? Call me old-fashioned, like, could you not just have two?
I think they should have been given a candelabra phone. You know, one of the ones you hold up to your mouth and then you hold the little bit up to your ear? And then they get their mobile phones back at the end of the day, or they have to send things to each other on sealed self-addressed envelopes. It's going to be my theme for the evening.
I mean, it is a bit, you're never going to stop it, like we spoke about drones last week, but you're never going to stop it. It's because technology is everywhere.
Yeah.
And you can have tiny pen. You can buy a spy one that is the size of a button.
Yeah, that's probably what it is. Because, I mean, if you look at the picture in the story, the quality it's perfectly fine, but it's not amazing. You know, it doesn't strike me as a picture that started off in 4K and been scaled down.
Yeah. That's the X-Wing, right?
Yeah, it seems to me like that's the kind of, you know, the kind of slightly dulled down photo you'd see out of something that's not quite HD.
Do you think
everyone wants a piece of it, don't they? Everyone wants to be famous, and we're kind of like that. We're not trying to be famous, but we're kind of talking about Star Wars, but we're doing it legitimately.
Yeah.
We speculate. Ruin it for everyone.
Yeah, we speculate, but we're not actually saying this is definitely happening. We're doing it based on what people are telling us.
What we've fallen into, more by accident than design, I think, is we've become, I like to think we're sort of an entry-level podcast for casual fans, because we don't try and break stories. We give our little things. Like we're just answering Michael's question about BB-8, and I think we came up with some great little theories. And last week, when you cracked that Dubrovnik set thing, and you came out with the Corellia and the memorial theory, that's the sort of thing you're going to get from us. It's not clickbait. We're not looking for massive audiences. We're not trying to pretend that we've got an inside track on anything. It's just
we're just speculating because it's fun.
Stuff we love, and we're having fun while we're doing it. Hopefully, we're not being too dirty on this show while we're doing it. But you got the After Dark side for that.
I'm sorry,
but these people, you're right, Steve. People that go onto these set visits and they crack these photos off and leak them to newspapers and what have you.
They're basically no better than journalists and, you know, like what are they call
paparazzi.
Yeah.
Parisians, I thought you were going to say. Like,
yeah, no better than Parisians. Yeah. God, there's some hate stuff on Talkstar. No better than bloody Parisians with their paninis and their
ciao. Oh wait, no, that's not it.
that's not it.
It's the wrong country, isn't it?
They're
strings
of onions around their necks. I wonder how many of these photographs are actually leaked by the production. If it's this difficult to get
this is the other question.
Is it being done?
Yeah. It makes you wonder, doesn't it? Because if we're theorizing here based on what we're being given, and they're saying the security is really tight, how are we getting given stuff to speculate with?
Yeah.
It makes you wonder if they're doing it because they want people to speculate with just enough information that people could, you know, obviously we've seen this week, because I know we've been sharing it between us, there's a lot of people running with various elements of the theory that we postulated last week. Little bits and pieces, they've all kind of gone with different bits of it and stuff. So they're all kind of, you know, maybe they're doing that to whip up excitement about films.
Yeah.
It makes sense. I mean, it certainly worked for Force Awakens.
And there's some misinformation to be had as well. If you look at a production in 2008, they were doing X-Files, I Want to Believe, and they'd leaked a bunch of photographs from the set of somebody with a huge animatronic werewolf head. And it looked like a lighting reference model that they were bringing out onto the set. So rumours started, like all this scuttlebutt started online with fan sites like ours, podcasts, I guess, maybe not in 2008, maybe podcasts weren't really that established.
They were just starting, I think,
So there was a lot of, the internet was a Twitter, so to speak, with talk of the new X-Files movie being based on werewolves. And then we got I Want to Believe, which, even though I don't think it's a terrible
film, wasn't based on anything.
Wasn't anywhere near as exciting as werewolves. I would have killed it was for werewolves.
Biggest deal. After the first one, I know we're not talking about X-Files, but after the first one, that film was just abysmal. And it was well acted, and the Scottish actor, whose name escapes me,
Billy Connolly,
was fantastic. It was a really good, well-made film, but boring as you like.
I want to see Billy Connolly in Macbeth now.
Yes.
Did anyone get the joke?
No.
You'd be calling it the Scottish
play. I'd like to see him in Macbeth. Oh, yes, the Scottish play. Yeah. Isn't that Hamlet? Mm. Oh, yeah, that is. You can't say Macbeth. That word.
I
can say whatever I want. I know I'm going to walk under a ladder whilst I do it.
You're just a rebel without a cause.
I should be in Rogue One.
Maybe. Just a quick thing before we move on, actually. I'm just reading an article. It's just been tweeted out from the Empire Online Awards. And Star Wars has just won 5 awards out of the evening.
Really?
Yes, it's won Best Male Newcomer for John Boyega. Well, best female newcomer for best female newcomer for Daisy Ridley.
I'm just looking at that now. Yeah, excellent.
Best sci-fi fantasy. Best director for J.J. Abrams, and where is it? It must be a fifth. Where is it? Best visual effects.
Okay,
agreed.
So that's yeah, I'm all right with that. I mean, I will say actually, looking at best visual effects, I think Ant-Man would have also been a worthy winner
because
that was a good special effects movie. There's a lot of good visuals.
What did Serafinowicz get?
Serafinowicz?
He's won something.
Let's have a look.
I mean, that sounds like a lot
has,
of those...
Has he? Hang on. Has he, or is that Peter Serafinowicz being Peter Serafinowicz? Because he's quite famous for messing around with stuff like that.
Yeah.
He could well be
a bit of a rabbit hole. Well, congratulations to The Force Awakens. It's nice to see it's winning something. There's also a great picture of Oscar Isaac rocking the porn stash on Twitter.
Nice. Right.
Okay. Let's talk about... next thing on the show notes, AT-AT's walking out of the ocean.
Right. What's this based on?
This is a description of some footage that came out. Just below, you can see a little brief about shareholder footage. There's... also talk of a shot in the Rogue One sizzle reel, or what might go on to become a trailer, suggesting that there's a couple of AT-AT walkers walking out of the ocean up onto a beach. Slightly different looking AT-AT walkers from the ones in Empire Strikes Back.
But, so maybe more kind of, you know, bespoke for water.
Yeah. How cool does that shot sound, right?
That sounds like an amazing shot if they kind of approach it like... You remember, I mean, how awesome was it to see them in their first appearance? You know, he looks through the binoculars and there's these whacking great legs in shot and he has to pan back and zoom up and look up to see them. That would
be
awesome.
My only problem is it sounds a bit too Empire-y and we are in the second film of a trilogy. But if it's going to happen, I guess that water planet sounds like.
Hang on, would this be for Rogue? Would this be for Rogue One?
It's Rogue One. Apologies. Oh, okay. Sorry.
I wasn't sure either, to be honest, Steve, mate. So I'm glad you asked.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So Rogue One. Oh, yeah. Because if it was the other one, it sounds like it would be happening at Hound's funeral. But
yeah.
But no. Okay. Rogue One. Okay. So why? So they would be less developed asset AT-ATs.
Well, or like Rob said, more bespoke ones. So they're probably the ones that were used on Hoth were probably for that climate, you know. And then these ones,
or for that terrain, maybe.
Yeah, and somebody's described these that come out of the water as having as being grey machines, but with a big beige door on the side. So I don't know what to make of that. Really, obviously it'll become clear in the future, but
yeah.
I just like
it'd be cool.
Of that shot. It just sounds so awesome.
You know, it'd be really cool.
What's that?
Right. Is it if you had? I mean, this would kind of be at odds with the tech that we see in Empire Strikes Back to a point, but I guess it would still be okay to do it. They're kind of, you imagine them like they're sort of submarines until they hit terrain, until they're able to go up on terrain, and then they kind of, the legs kind of telescope out. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah. But I don't know, you know, how doable that is.
Assets are never as big as I always thought they were. They always seem huge.
No, I mean,
huge,
they've got big legs. Yeah, the actual cockpits are quite small, but they've got big legs because obviously they're big enough for two people to sit and maybe two people to stand behind, a bit like a plane cockpit.
Yeah.
So they're not actually that big in terms of, you know, capacity.
Probably
they're just big.
Probably about
big
50 warriors in the stormtroopers in the middle bit.
Yeah, but they may be, you know, these might be smaller to be quicker or, you know, who knows?
It could well be that's the case, couldn't it?
And that'd be pretty cool, though.
Depends on what the, you know, I mean, they might not be AT-ATs as we know them. There were six-legged ones in Attack of the Clones, weren't there? They're slightly different.
True, yeah.
And in the Clone Wars animated thing.
Yeah, I mean, there's all, you know, the AT-AT stands for All Terrain Armored Transport. So in theory, if they were to be able to make it watertight, they could walk along the seabed because they're all terrain.
That would
but
look
you know,
so cool.
Whether they'd have to be sort of kitted out with some sort of special clobber to make them watertight, I don't know. Or whether they'd just have a separate device that would, you know, a different thing, different machine.
Wellington boots and a snorkel. That's all they need.
That would be an even better shot. Just be them looking out over the water and going, I don't see anything. You just see a little snorkel bubbling over and, Dory, just wandering.
Dory goes
and then suddenly it just pops swimming, up. They've got Disney, you know, they're Disney now.
They are Disney, yeah. It's all about the synergy, corporate synergy. Yeah. Did you read the footage description from the shareholders meeting?
Yes. Yeah,
I did, yeah.
That sounds pretty cool, doesn't it? Sure. Let me just read through it. So somebody that was present at the shareholders meeting who obviously was a little bit overwhelmed, so they didn't get very good notes of it, said, most of it is very quick. A shot of a black stormtrooper, possibly called a death trooper, as previously reported. Mm. Another pick of the same style of helmet and armour, but all chrome, reminiscent of Captain Phasma in The Force Awakens.
Okay.
An image showed AT-ATs, but slightly different look with the door panel on the side, body painted a lighter beige colour, as we were just discussing.
Yeah.
And a couple of cast photos were shown, one of Felicity Jones and Diego Luna, and another of Donnie Yen, who I think I've heard rumoured Donnie Yen may or may not be a bounty hunter. The clip featured Felicity Jones's character on what looked like the inside of a ship or a shuttle with her arm up holding onto the hatch slash ramp, which was open behind her. The person making these notes says, I wish I could remember more. But the sizzle reel went past so fast. But the new stormtroopers look great. Now, I've heard pretty good things about these stormtroopers. The black armor, mirrored lenses, green lights on the helmet. There you go, Steve. It just sounds really cool to me to have these variations.
It sounds very cool, but it still doesn't feel like Star Wars. Like, I'm not being sold Star Wars. I don't imagine Felicity Kendall. No. Oh, what do we have here? Felicity Kendall.
Well, it'd be a very different film.
Felicity Jones, I can't imagine her sitting in an interview on, you know, a chat show saying, oh, yeah, of course, we're doing Star Wars at the moment. They'd have to go, oh, we're doing one of the Star Wars, like, spin-offs. And, you know, and it would be very, it doesn't feel like Star Wars to me.
Okay.
And that's my problem with it. I know we're going big tangent now.
You know what?
But it just doesn't feel like Star Wars to me.
You know, Darth Vader, I think
we need footage.
Yeah, they need to start working on that perception.
Mm.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, I've been banging that drum for ages now. I think they've left it way too late.
Mm. And maybe it's going to come with Civil War, isn't it?
That's the trailer. We're hearing, but that still seems too late to me.
It's quite late. It's certainly compared to Force Awakens, because we started getting trailers. Well, no, having said that, we didn't get trailers till what, July?
Yeah, we had a teaser. We had a teaser 13 months out.
March.
Yeah, that's right.
We had a teaser in November, the year before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then a big one in March, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe teasers, it is a bit. There was a leaked teaser. I don't know if either of you guys picked up on this. It was a UK newspaper. I'm trying to think what one it was. I don't want to claim the wrong
slander them.
I think it was the Mirror. Yeah. I think I'm certain it was the Mirror.
All right.
Suggested that there was leaked footage of Rogue One, a Star Wars story, in the form of a trailer. And then their article had the trailer embedded on the post. So obviously, I did a little bit of a wee for excitement, and then clicked play. And what it was just a really badly bootlegged copy of the Obi-Wan teaser from last year's celebration, which hasn't been made public yet. The one with where there's a moon and a TIE fighter, and then you get the Death Star on the horizon, right? It was just that, but the description they gave wasn't that. So I think they got very confused about what they had seen. The description was that there was a couple of AT-ATs walking across the horizon. Now, I managed to track that footage down and watched it, and I think that it was cobbled together by a fan, because the AT-ATs looked like they'd been lifted out of a video game.
Ah, right, I see.
So I don't know what video game it would have been. and I can't be bothered to do the research, but it looked like they'd taken some footage from a video game, spliced in something from the end of the Obi-Wan Celebration Rogue One footage from last year, and then leaked it out, and everyone is starting to sniff around it now as if it's this thing that we'd all missed.
Yeah.
You didn't see that? You didn't see any of that footage?
No, I haven't, no.
It's worth trying to dig it out.
See if I can... I'm going to see if this is it here. It's about a minute long. Is that right?
I don't know if
potentially.
I don't know if it was a minute long. The Obi-Wan trailer's a minute long, I think. So you might have that one.
Oh, my. Okay. This does tell me very little. If this is... Yeah, I mean, this one is officially... this one's been labelled an official fake trailer. So... Nicely done, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, it all looks very CG'd and, like you say, like video games or Rebels or something. Thing, yeah. This might even be kind of early reveal for... Oh, no, actually, I was about to say it might be early reveal for
Battlefront.
But then I've just seen the Y-Wing come into shot and I don't think they're in the game yet.
Right.
Oh, yes, they are. They're in the Walker Assault, aren't they?
Yeah, and they're sitting on the landing platforms in the woods.
Yes.
I've never played it because I can't get it on my Game Boy.
Ah.
On your ZX80.
Yeah, such is life.
Spectrum. about rather woolly CG, is anyone else concerned about this report that Peter Cushing is being completely recreated in CG for Rogue One?
No. Because now I've seen how well they can do it when they put their mind to it. No, I'm not.
Okay. I mean, we're assuming he'll be in it a lot.
Well, what say again, Rob?
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. We're assuming that if, you know, we're working on the assumption he'll be in it a lot. But that doesn't necessarily mean he has to be.
But a lot.
I don't know. Maybe a CG cameo. But.
Yeah.
I honestly am not worried because we've said this many times, if you put enough money into CG, it can look like exponentially better each time you add another million to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is not a film that's going to be short on budget.
Yeah. Especially if we're assuming that he's going to be live in the, in whatever scene he's in, we're assuming he's going to be live in person in the room with those people. This is a world of holograms this is a world of holograms, communicators, all sorts of stuff. You know, he doesn't have to be in shot. He doesn't have to be focused on in the shot. He can be out of shot. He can be a hologram. He can be a communicator. Yeah. He can be a voice communicator and all sorts of stuff. Because I mean, you know, episode 3 had Peter Cushing CG'd in it. And it was CG over the top of a real actor, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think there was partial prosthetics involved as well.
Yes. So, I mean, I don't know whether that's because they couldn't quite get it. 10, 11 years this year.
Yeah, exactly. And as long as they don't do a bad job of it as they did with Snoke, it will be all right, I imagine.
As long as it doesn't look like it would in Rebels, because then it'll be over the top. If he ends up looking like he would have done had they just put him in Rebels, then that would be bad.
Yeah, because that's not good. That's very cartoonish, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think there's a chance here that he could be a significant presence in the film. I think I'm right in saying that Vader's only on screen for about 10 minutes in Empire Strikes Back, but he seems to be a lot more because he's present even when he's not on screen, isn't he? You can feel him.
Yes.
As part of it. So I think maybe there's a chance that Peter Cushing could be a similar thing, that this CGI Peter Cushing might only be on screen for 8 minutes.
Maybe, yeah. This is it.
And if he's just going to be part of... you don't get a single shot of him in close-up ruminating.
Yeah.
It's going to be him dealing with Vader or the Emperor or peons. He's going to be something in a scene.
Yeah, if we cast our minds back to episode 1, right, as painful as it may be for some of the cast and some of the listeners, cast your minds back to episode 1, think about how much Darth Sidious specifically is in that film without being on screen.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's in holograms and he's in, you know, that sort of thing. It's only really, I think it's episode 2 where we see him live yeah, for the first time. I may be wrong on that, having said that.
Yeah, no, I don't think you see Sidious live in episode one at all.
No, you only see Palpatine. But obviously, yeah, it's the same person, but yeah, you see him in a completely different light. So there's, you know, he's in that film a fair bit for the, in terms of moving the story forwards without actually being in the room.
You see Sidious in Phantom Menace once at the start when they're on the, balcony on Coruscant.
You're right. And yes. Says,
like, go and
at last,
wipe them out.
At last, we reveal ourselves to the Jedi.
Yeah.
At last, we will have revenge.
That's it. Get a specific star, Peter Serafinowicz.
Peter Serafinowicz, yes. In fact,
thumbs kind of middling on the Peter Cushing thing. I'm interested to see what they do with it. It's definitely a step towards the world you want, Steve.
Yeah, definitely. I honestly think it will be a better world if we can bring these actors back. They're immortal then, because we're not. The trouble is with life, it gets in the way of a character. Because
it does, rather.
You'd snuff it in real life. it kind of ruins the whole.
I think
fantasy.
I wouldn't blame life for that. I'd blame death, but...
Well, yeah.
I'm just splitting hairs.
Let's get Harrison Ford back. He did fall down, but he was caught by IG-88 on the way down. He turned good.
Hero IG-88.
Yeah.
The other thing that should be pointed out with this Peter Cushing thing is we'll need an actor to do the voice, and I believe Stephen Stanton, who provides a voice in animation, is at least heavily rumoured to be involved, so...
Mm-hmm. It would make sense.
That would be interesting because he's pretty good, actually.
Yeah. Plus, they've also obviously they've proven that they're not afraid to use the voice actors from cartoon appearances from James Arnold Taylor.
Yeah.
You know, being in the line for Obi-Wan before Ewan McGregor checked his voicemail.
Yeah. Before Ewan McGregor ate his lunch.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right, Alan Tudyk.
Yes.
There you go. There's reports
that Alan.
He will in fact be playing a droid, because you know we spoke a couple of weeks ago about potentially we knew that Alan Tudyk's role was going to be performance capture.
Yes.
And I at the time it could have gone either way, and I'd sort of put all my eggs in one basket and said he's going to be a droid, and I'd imagine he's going to be quite an idiosyncratic looking droid, because otherwise, why do it in performance capture and put someone in a suit? Well, it does look like he's in fact going to be a rather spindly Imperial droid that's taken and reprogrammed to work for the Rogues.
Okay.
So, two things. One, if you click on that link that's in the show notes, it should take you to a mock-up. He's supposed to look something like that torture droid in Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, I was going to say that reminds me of that's kind of what it evokes to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I think is a pretty cool.
Yeah, pretty cool
image on screen.
Yeah, I was sort of hoping that they'd go down the Steve the Pirate route from his role in Dodgeball, but yes. If they're going to go down the droid route, this looks like a pretty good one. Because I would have liked to see Steve the Pirate turn up.
The one that's burning the feet of the other one.
Yeah.
Yes.
Isn't that in Empire on Cloud City?
No, it's Return of the Jedi and Jabba's Palace.
Return of the Jedi, and Steve, please collect your coat and never come back to this podcast.
I remember. When does C-3PO get pulled apart? That was in Cloud City.
That was Ugnaughts. The little...
That's what I'm thinking of.
The vertically challenged engineers of Cloud City. Probably so they don't bang their heads on any girders.
The dwarves.
Quite health and safety conscious, really, when you think about it. Cloud City is quite progressive.
Don't have handrails, because they'd hit their heads on those instead.
Exactly.
Only when that was quite interesting.
On their lunch break at Jabba the Hutt.
The EV-99 mama.
Yeah.
The father and the mama.
So. I think so.
So this makes me now wonder whether or not I might have something with my little theory, my Star Wars insights as to the way Rogue One might end with...
Okay.
Alan Tudyk's droid being the only survivor of the Rogues, with the Death Star plans taking them to Leia.
Yeah. Okay.
Could be something too.
Could be. Yeah, could be. Mm. I mean, we're thinking, you know, at the moment we're kind of working on the assumption that it's going to be a willing participant of the Rogues, but it could be a droid that's kind of kidnapped and reprogrammed.
I think that's the impression that I'm getting, that he's going to be a reprogrammed thing, not hotwired. And I can imagine there being some banter with people in there that don't trust him.
I was I was about to say as well, there's an opportunity for, you know, like I say, we, you know, as much as we kind of a little bit skeptical of comic relief because of some of the prequel stuff, there is a lot of it in Star Wars, and Alan Tudyk's a very funny man. So, you know, his kind of, he could bring a lot to a comedic character.
Yeah.
If it's sort of a, you know, a droid that's, have you ever played Knights of the Old Republic, the video game?
No.
But there's, okay, so there's a character in that called HK-47, who's an assassin droid that's very funny. And even though he's actually just, you know, being a droid who is designed to assassinate people, he's very funny because he calls all human beings meat sacks. And so he's always sort of speaking very dismissively of humanity because he's just, you know, it's just about, for him, it's just about killing the right meat sack for the money.
Yeah.
So they could do, you know, if they had a kind of character like that who's just a bit sort of, oh, humans, you know, they're a bit rubbish. It could make for some really funny moments if he's, you know, a bit like that kind of character. Because again, we've talked about it before on the show. They have been creeping in elements of the Legends canon into the prop, into the back into the saga.
Yeah.
So they could introduce a character like HK-47 into the Rogue One movie. And actually, let me find a picture of him for you while we're talking, because I think he's actually not a million miles off the look either.
Oh, that'd be good. Maybe I'll stick that on as a cover art for this week as well.
Yeah. He's saying he looks between that. Well, there's a picture of a drawing of what looks like the medical droid here as well from the Empire.
2-1-B. Yeah,
2-1-B, the Iron Giant, and EV-99, which mm-hmm. is the cruelty one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've just sent you a thing. I'll send you a better one with just a picture of the actual droid on it rather than all the different search results. Here we go. So that's the...
Oh, yes.
Oh yeah, oh,
so, awesome. I mean, he's got that look to, you know, he's got that look that he could almost be a little, what it kind of in the realm of what they're looking at with this sort of concept stuff.
Yeah, that is awesome.
So he could play a character like that where he's sort of a, you know, he's designed to be a sort of super, he's a droid with a superiority complex essentially.
Yeah,
you know, he sort of thinks that he can't trust humans to do a droid's work and things like that, and maybe he's, by the end, he's sort of changed his mind a bit because he's seen humans excel and things like that. Who knows, you know, like, but well, it's fun to think about
that Alan Tudyk's playing this droid, because yes, he's already done it, hasn't he, in iRobot. He was Sonny.
Mm. Yes,
and he really did a good turn there. He brought plenty of pathos to that character and made it very sympathetic, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do with this.
Yeah. But I think, you know, maybe they'll kind of go in the opposite direction, make him a completely unsympathetic character. That'd be really, you know, I'm all right with either, to be honest. Mm. But I'd be interested to see.
He probably does hate humans as well, because we killed him off in Serenity.
Yeah. That's his own fault for being such a leaf on the wind.
And also, to be fair, humanity has killed Serenity and Firefly as a whole in general. So anybody from that show has a right to a grievance, I guess.
That is a crime against things.
Okay. I haven't seen it, so I wouldn't know.
Oh, you're missing something there, mate.
I've been told I'd love
yourself,
it.
But you would love it as well.
I think I might have to give it a go.
It's basically like Star Wars in space.
Yeah. I do like a lot of the individual actors, like Nathan Fillion and Morena Baccarin and people like that, so I should probably give it a go.
There's nothing not to like. It is just a great show. Let's talk about Shadow Troopers. Just a quick bit with this. Something that I really liked on MakingStarWars.net, which was, there is an image on there. It's Clone Troopers, but they're just using it to sort of indicate
the Shadow Troopers
targeting system was going to look like in Rogue One, which is apparently like a green laser mounted on the side of the helmet.
Okay.
Cue Steve's childish laughter.
No, I missed that one.
Oh, sorry, I said helmet.
No, it's time to grow up, Mark.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong. Sorry.
We've made him feel bad last week on After Dark Sides by making out that he was this horrible person, and now he's determined to make amends.
Come on, guys. The layers phallic dress.
Come on, guys. Let's bring the show forwards. Come on.
We made disclaimers about that at the end of last week's show. These Stormtroopers have got an unusual targeting system, which to me just sounds like the Predator, and I think it sounds really cool.
Yes, it does. That was what I was thinking of, actually. I was thinking, what does that remind me of? And you've nailed it. Predator. Yeah. Yes.
just like they mentioned, they were talking about it on the Now This Is Podcasting, which is making StarWars.net's own podcast. It's really good, really good show. It's way squarier than us. And they were saying that they could just imagine our heroes, the rogues, in a dark environment and then just being lit up by little green target after little green target. And that is well cool. I cannot wait to see something like that on screen.
Yeah.
Final piece then, and then we can shut this Rogue One focused episode down, which is long overdue. Just buried in there, you can probably just see Star Wars Catalyst, a Rogue One prequel comic coming from Marvel.
Yes.
I've had my fingers burnt by Marvel Star Wars comics recently with that Obi-Wan and Anakin, so I'm not sure how to feel about this. Is this something that's of interest to you guys? Steve, you're probably not interested, are you?
No, I don't really do comic books. I know that's a travesty, but not really to me.
No. Rob?
I've had a kind of mixed experience with Star Wars comics since the Marvel acquisition. I've heard very good things about the Vader series, which I picked up and haven't had a chance to read because I've been moving house. I read the first Obi-Wan and Anakin comic issue, and I thought it was okay. I was excited to see how it would go on, but apparently it doesn't really go on very far in terms of doesn't really go anywhere. But then they did one, it was called Shattered Empire, which is just set after Endor. Just after Endor. And that was all right. It was interesting. So I'm kind of, you know, cautiously optimistic, really, when it comes to Star Wars comics. A friend of mine's on Marvel Unlimited, which is their subscription service. It means being 6 months behind, but you get to sort of unlimited, or you can eat comics for whatever it is a month. I think it's $6.99 or $9.99 maybe. Something, it's sub £10. I know that much. And he's always telling me there's some really good series. I've just, like I say, the only one I know is everybody's raving about is the Vader series, the Kieran Gillen one. So if it's set in that sort of era, potentially, maybe they're struggling with the stuff before and after the saga, you know, kind of earlier stuff like Clone Wars and post-Jedi stuff. Maybe the stuff in the middle is all right.
Yeah, it would give them an interesting opportunity to sort of load their stage with characters from other areas.
Yeah.
Like you could have Ahsoka and you could have the Star Wars Rebels characters cross over and be involved with the Rogues if they're going to do that. But presumably, if this is a prequel to Rogue One, it's not going to focus on all the characters. I'm getting the impression from Rogue One that they bring a team together to do something in the film.
Yes.
So,
yes.
If you are going to get a prequel, it might only be,
so going to be
one or two characters and maybe not the rest of the team.
Or it might be just a bit disjointed where it's loads of short bits about loads of different people bringing them all to that point.
Yeah.
So it could end up being quite choppy and a bit hard to follow.
Yeah, that might put me off. Perhaps I'll I don't know.
I kind of lean towards the books and novellas rather than the the comics.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully,
audio books. I'm still trying to get through Heir to the Jedi, and even after my initial
Heir to the Empire.
No, there's a book called Heir to the Jedi.
Oh, is this called Timothy Dawn?
No, it's not. It's not
Timothy Dawn. Christy Golden, I think.
Okay.
I can tell you. It's
on the PS. Somebody's on the PS4.
No, so I was just turning it on.
Oh, okay.
Jen, I think wants it's to fix
Christy Golden.
Heir to the Jedi. Is a canon
Kevin Hearn, sorry.
Kevin Hearn, yeah. And
Kevin Hearn. I apologise to Kevin Hearn.
I've still got 3 hours to go, and I've got to say I'm kind of losing my interest in it.
I know what you mean, because there were bits of that book that I thought were absolutely bloody fantastic, and then by the end I was like, that was cool.
It's after New Hope.
Yeah.
And before, it's immediately after New Hope. And there is some cool stuff. Like I think I mentioned on a previous episode, we find out where he gets the green crystal for the lightsaber he builds in Jedi.
Yes,
and there's some other cool stuff in there. Although I'm struggling to make a list of more than one thing.
There's the scene. This is it's a plot spoiler. It's not a spoiler in terms of revealing any endings or anything. There's a really good bit with like sort of aliens that attach to your head, You read that bit?
Yes.
That bit's really good, and it was so good, I wish they'd made a separate story out of it.
Yeah, I must admit,
I wanted that to be its own story.
I did kind of pay a lot more attention to that, and it was telling that the characters that I was invested in aren't the core characters. They're just like a little band of people sent to that planet, aren't they, to try and capture these things and bring them back. It's a bit like Alien, really.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I liked it, to be honest, is because I like that that story setup.
Yeah, but that didn't last long. And now all of
I would have, like I say, I would have been very happy with that as its own dedicated story, and it's all about Luke on the planet trying to sort of escape and trying to figure out what's going on and stuff. There's a really good, it's non-canon now, it's Legends, but they did some zombie stories. One was called Death Troopers. And one was called Red Harvest.
Right.
I have to check it. Okay. And they are absolutely bloody fantastic. So if you're after, I know you prefer to go for new canon books, Mark, but if you do find yourself at a loose end for audiobooks to find, because obviously they are coming out quite a bit slower.
Oh, very slowly on Audible.
Yeah. Then Audible will come. Yeah. I can heartily recommend those two. Like I say, I'm going to have to double check it. So I'm sure it's called Red Harvest. One's Red Harvest. And then one's called Death Troopers. Yes. So they're both written by a guy called Joe Schreiber. And they're both about viruses that kind of turn characters into zombies. And they got fantastic sound effects, fantastic, voice narration.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, fantastic score, fantastic voice narration by, I believe it's Jonathan Davis. Who's the other guy. The guy, like I said, who tends to do sort of the darker stories. Death Troopers occurs first in terms of when it was released, and then Red Harvest follows that. Set about a year before A New Hope, and it's all about a virus that spreads on a prison ship and turns them all into sort of the Walking Dead. And then Red Harvest.
For me.
Red Harvest is this might sway you. Red Harvest is a sequel. It works on the assumption that the Sith have found the origin of the virus. So this actually... Oh, no, sorry, it's not a sequel. It's set in the Old Republic, my bad. It's released afterwards, but it's an origin story about the virus, and it deals with the Sith who find it and try and weaponize it.
And actually
it goes horribly, horribly wrong and turns loads of Sith into zombies instead.
So that sounds a little bit more...
Yeah,
I've actually gone off new canon with my next choice this month. I picked up Kenobi by John Jackson.
Oh, good choice! That's brilliant.
Narrated by Jonathan Davis, which you just mentioned, and this is the unabridged version, which is 13 hours. I took your advice, Rob, and I decided
stuck to unabridged.
Yeah, because the abridged abridged heir to the Empire was 3 hours long, or two and a half hours long, and that's just not going to cut it for me.
Yeah, there was a bloke who was called Thrawn. He's quite bad, it turns out. Anyway, look forward to book two.
Okay.
We just unlocked an achievement.
Right.
Oh, it's my phone. I think
we've covered everything we had on the show notes. Have you guys got any other thoughts about Rogue One before we wrap up for the evening?
I just want to see something about it.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to know what it's all about.
I want to see a trailer now. I think we're getting, you know, even a teaser would be nice.
Yeah. just want a teaser. It doesn't have to be much. I just want something to start the conversation so that people will ask, "Oh, is this episode 8? And they can be told, "No, it's not."
No.
Prepare yourself because this is something new. And you're still going to love it.
I don't think we'll get teasers for this one. I think we'll go straight from naught to full-blown trailer.
Yeah.
That's my feeling. I think it's too late in the game to start doing teasers when we're only I think it's 9 months from release. I think we're looking at you know, Civil War will ship with a proper... Mm-hmm. If it's not a proper trailer, it will be a decent-sized teaser. It won't just be a, you know, 30 seconds of odd shots and mostly dialogue and next to no actual visuals. It will have meat to it, I would hope.
Yeah, it's going to need it.
I think so.
To do its job, it's going to need it.
Yeah, they need. They're not in post. Are they in post production now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So they. Yeah. I mean, it's. They're just assuming that everyone will watch it because it's Star Wars, which may be true. But they still need to cover their asses and get, you know, and get the word out there of what it is.
Though. Yeah, I believe it was Qui-Gon Jinn who said, "When you gamble, eventually you'll lose."
That is what he said, yeah. And then he said, "I have a very specific set of lightsabers." Right, let's wrap this up.
If you let it go now, that'll be the end of it.
Guys, where can people find you this week online between shows?
I'm still running my YouTube channel. That's I'm just starting to get back into it now because it's a kind of seasonal. But that's Calistein, Calastein on YouTube. Thank you very much.
Rob?
I will mostly be talking all sorts of gubbins on my personal Twitter feed, which is at Rob Wade Vision. I'm also run a blog called Emotionally 14, which has a Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, website, two podcasts, and, you know, there's a lots of fun stuff going on there. So if you find me on the Twitter, then you can find the website from there, and you can find all the different stuff, you know, that you want to explore out of those things I listed if they sound cool to you, which I hope they do, because I do work very hard, you know.
You can find everything we do as a collective at talkstarwars.co.uk. You can find each of us if you search at Talk Star Wars on Twitter, or you can just go straight to the at Talk Star Wars Twitter account and you'll find everything I do there. And I've also just launched a new Facebook page this week, which is dedicated to iTunes HD movie releases and deals and discounts and bargains and all sorts of things.
I'm glad to see that. It's very helpful.
I have needed a resource to find iTunes movies that are on offer without having to go through the store. I couldn't find it, so now I've built one myself. So you'll find that at facebook.com/iTunes movie deals, I believe. Don't forget to hit us up on Twitter or send us an email if you want to ask us a question or make a comment or leave some feedback. That's talkstarwarsinfo@gmail.com, talkstarwarsinfo@gmail.com. We'll see you next week.
Bye bye. Nee, 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 nee